on the subject of worship. We defined it, we differentiated it from prayer and so forth, and then we considered the worshiper, the condition that the worshiper must be in. And I said at the next meeting, we will speak about what the worshiper gives. This is the next meeting. But I'm not going to talk about that. Last Wednesday, our brother Julius English spoke on, anybody remember? What was the subject? The coming of the Lord. And what impressed me was not only what he said, but his enthusiasm. He talked as if he really meant it. I wonder how many of us are anxious for the coming of the Lord. How many of us have a few things we'd like to do, a little money to make, and a house and a car to buy, and then come, Lord? So we're going to talk today about the coming of the Lord, Luke chapter 12. This is just a continuation of what our brother brought to us on Wednesday evening. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 43. Luke chapter 12. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now, I'm sure you have noticed the recurrence of a certain expression. Notice in verse 36, when he come. Notice in verse 37, when he cometh. Notice in verse 40, the Son of Man cometh. Notice in verse 43, when he cometh. Notice in verse 46, the servant will come. So all of these verses, this whole story has to do with the coming of the Lord. And there are certain things that should be true of us as we consider the coming of the Lord. Notice, please, verse 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait. Are we waiting for the Lord to come? Are we waiting for the Lord to come? You know, you remember when you were a child, and we have some children here, ask them, they'll tell you, my birthday is coming, and I'm going to get a present. You're waiting, waiting, waiting. That's the way we should feel about the coming of the Lord. That's the way Brother Julius feels. The story is told of a certain mother who had a very wayward daughter. And one day this daughter decided, Mother, I'm going out on my own. And the mother said, I'm going to put a candle lighted in the window of your room. That will tell you that I'm waiting for you to come back. It was a good 20 years. And that mother lighted that candle every day and every night. And one day the daughter decided, I'd better go home. It's not so good out here. I wonder if the light is there. And as she approached the home, she saw the light. The mother was waiting. Are we waiting? Waiting for the Lord to come? Now, keep Luke chapter 12. But turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. And let us examine ourselves as to how we stand. Chapter 5, verse 2. I sleep. Song of Solomon, right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, right after Ecclesiastes. Thank you. Thank you. Chapter 5, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And what does she say in verse 3? Is she waiting for it? I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And that was no welcome. Beloved, I ask you, are you waiting for the return of the Lord? And in 1 John we read, everyone that has the hope and is looking forward to the return of the Lord, this has a purifying effect on him. A purifying. As you think of the Lord, he's coming. I'm going someplace. Uh-oh, the Lord is coming. I wouldn't want him to find me there. Now, I've told you the story before. I'm going to tell you again. This was back in the 40s, early in practice. And about 2 in the morning, I received this phone call. Please come to so-and-so and so. I said, look, take the patient to the hospital. No, we want you. We don't want to go to the hospital. Well, I knew the person. It was a co-worker in the hospital. And so I went. 2:30, few street lights, everything else dark. And then I heard a voice. This way, doctor, this way. And where do you think I was? In a nightclub. And I went in there. Well, the patient is over here. I said, look, if I'm going to take care of this patient, you're going to have to get some light in here. There was smoke, odor of alcohol, and a little 2-watt bulb here and there. I said, I don't work in the darkness. Well, we took care of the matter. And you know what I said to myself? Lord, please don't come before I get out of here. You're waiting for the Lord? You better be careful where you go. You may not want him to find you in certain places. You're waiting for the Lord? You better be careful what you say. You may not want him to hear you saying certain words. So that is the question of waiting for the Lord. And in our hymn book, we'll look at it later. 192, I think it is. I am waiting for thee, Lord. Now, I wouldn't do it. I'm tempted. But I won't do it. I'm tempted to ask everyone who is waiting for the Lord to raise his or her hand, but don't do it. Now, we come next to verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom, when the Lord cometh, he shall find, doing what? Watching. Not only are we to wait for his coming, we are to watch. Now, recently, in the little papers that we give out every Sunday, a beautiful story was told. I was glad to have it in print because I knew the story. I had repeated the story, but I didn't know the source. In the North Sea River, area, where most of the men earn their living by fishing. And they would go out together and stay out 4 days, maybe a week, maybe 10 days. And then they would return. And there was this one man, when the fisherman returned, he was looking for his wife. All the ladies there looking for their wives. And his wife wasn't there. And he came home and oh, darling, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad. I've been waiting for you. You get the story? You were waiting for me, but all the rest were down there watching for me. There's a difference between waiting and watching. I'll give you a good example. This too was years ago. Early in my hospital experience, there was an area set aside for those prisoners who were also had illnesses. And they were to be transferred from that particular place to the hospital that took care of injured and diseased prisoners. Friday night, I remember it well. No, Saturday. As I passed by this prison area, I saw the prisoner, and I saw the officer that was supposed to be watching him. Oh, he was a big, burly fellow, and he was sleeping. He was waiting, but he wasn't watching. Beloved, are you watching? Are you watching? I said to myself, I should go and wake him up. But then this fellow might jump on me. So I left him alone. But on my way back, the sergeant came in, and he was as big as the officer. And I will never forget who's watching who. The officer was asleep. Beloved, we're not only to wait, we are to watch. Waiting and watching. You remember the prodigal son? The father of the prodigal son. He looked and he saw he was not only waiting, he was watching for his son. And we should be watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we go a little further. I have a little piece here. A sister gave this to me many years ago at a conference in Canada, Montreal, Canada. Watch, for the time is short. Watch while 'tis called today. Watch lest temptations overcome. Watch, Christian, watch and pray. Watch, for the flesh is weak. Watch, for the foe is strong. Watch, though he tarries long. Watch. Not only to wait, but to watch. But then there's an interesting expression in verse 40 under the heading of watching. Be ye therefore ready. Are you ready, beloved? Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Is your life in order? Is it something that you must straighten out before and say, Lord, don't come yet. I'm not ready. Are you ready? Now, this little piece I got many years ago, but I liked it. What be ye ready means. A man visiting a certain school said that he would give a prize to the pupil whose desk he found in the best order when he returned. When will you return? One asked. I cannot tell you. One little girl who had been noted for her disorderly habits announced that she intended to win the prize. You? Jeered her classmates, while your desk is always out of order. Then she replied, I mean to clean it the first of every week, she said. And then they replied, suppose he should come at the end of the week. Then I would clean it every morning. But what if he should come at the end of the day? The little girl was silent for a moment, then announced, I know just what I'll do. I'll just keep it to him. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? Not only watching, but ready. Now, this story is told. Some say that it's true of Charles Wesley, and some say it is true of George Mueller. I know the story, but I don't know to whom it pertains. But the story is this. This preacher was asked, if you knew that the Lord was coming at midnight, how would you change your plans? How about it, folks?
If you knew that the Lord was coming at midnight, would your plans change? This particular brother said, no. I'd get up at the usual hour, bathe, go to worship, come home and have dinner, go and visit the sick, come back to the evening meeting, go home and have a little repast, say my prayers, go to bed around 11 o'clock, and wake up in heaven. That's pretty nice. His life was such, knowing the Lord is coming, he didn't have to change a thing. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? Be ye ready. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Working. What are you doing? Every believer has a gift given from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What are you doing with what God has given you? Story is told of a certain man. Oh, he was a brilliant fellow. And he was a horticulturist. He knew a lot about the plants, how to take care of them and fertilizing all that. And he applied for a job. And they asked for a reference. And the man who wrote the reference knew him well. Mr. So-and-so is well informed, knows his work well, has all the answers, and can do whatever you ask him in his field. Then he added this, but he won't. Some recommendations. You have a talent. Are you using it? You have a talent. Oh, how many of us, I'm sure all of us know about the Webster Dictionary? Yes. Well, let's see. Noah Webster had two sons. Well, he had a Bible name, and he gave his son's Bible name. The older one was Ezekiel, and the next one was Daniel. Most of us don't know about Ezekiel. Well, one day, the two boys were there, and the father came and said, what are you doing, Ezekiel? Nothing, replied the young man. And what are you doing, Daniel? I'm helping Ezekiel. Beloved, you have a gift. What are you doing? What are you doing with it? Are we serving the Lord with what he has given us? Now, here's a track. I know everybody has seen this track. Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Peter anybody, and Joe nobody. All in the same family. They were neighbors. But they were not like you and me. They were very odd people and most difficult to understand. The way they lived was a shame. All four belonged to the same church gathering. But you would not have enjoyed worshiping with them. Everybody went fishing on Sunday or stayed home to visit friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid that somebody wouldn't speak to him, so guess who went to church? Nobody. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody worked on the building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher. Everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it. And who do you think did it? Nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor, an unbeliever, moved into the area. Everybody thought that somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody could have made the effort, and you probably know who tried to win him. Nobody. Beloved, we are all gifted of the Lord. And don't say my gift is small. Your gift is necessary. Have you ever noticed when they're sending these satellites up in the air? Have all these men in different little, I call them cubby holes. And if one man's activity is not correct, the whole thing's spoiled. And it's the same way with us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how small your gift may be, you need it. I read recently, because I've been doing a special study, we'll get to that one day. You know, the evolutionists tell us that man was a little stupid fellow, and he gradually got smart. And the Bible tells us that man started out smart. Do you know how smart Adam was? Well, all the genes that were in Adam and Eve, that's all we have today. A lot of brilliant people in the world today, aren't they? Well, then Adam and Eve must have been very brilliant. And if you read it in Genesis, they had specialists in music, they had horticulturists, and they had people that did mechanical work and did it well. One day we're going to talk about that. Down there in the Mexican area, there are some things there that were built not by what they call the Aborigines. That's evolution. These were built by intelligent men years ago. And then the rest of the people degenerated. Read Romans 1. And I read it in at least three books. There is a building there, still standing, thousands of years old, and you can't get a razor blade between the bricks. Were they foolish? No. They were smart. So man didn't... I'm just getting off the subject. Man didn't start off being silly. He started off real smart. And the further he got from God, the worse he became. And that's what's happening today. But let's go on with the subject. Now, what we have to remember is that there is going to be an evaluation. When the Lord of these servants returned, he dealt with them. Verse 46. The Lord of that servant... that's verse 45. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maiden, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Beloved, every one of us is going to be tested. Final examination. Now, that is not going to lose your salvation. Now, look with me, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything that we do is going to be tested. All of our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. A testing time is coming. We ought to wait, we ought to watch, we ought to work, and the Lord is going to test us in these respects when he comes. Chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. By the way, this is only speaking of Christians. The ungodly aren't going to be in this. We are not going to be harmed by the fire of hell. Don't worry about that. But we are going to be tested. And some of us, I'll read it, are going to come through. I escaped the fire, but that's about all. Let's read. If any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Receive a reward. I stop for something else. Some of these things come to mind as I speak. This was a man who labored in Africa as a missionary, where our sister is. And finally he was coming home after many years. Many celebrities were on the same boat with him. And all the relatives were there to welcome him. Glad to see you. And there wasn't anybody to welcome this poor missionary. He felt very bad. After a while, he heard a voice. I'm sure the voice of God. You are not home yet. That's when you get the reward. Not down here. when you hope. And our works are going to be tested. Verse 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved just as by fire. He just made it. Would you like to be like that? You just made it. So our works are going to be tested. You know what else is going to be tested? Matthew 12. I'll tell you what else is going to be tested. And this can be very frightening. Matthew 12, verse 36. The Lord is speaking. Matthew 12, 36. I say unto you, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of thereof in the day of judgment. Every careless word, every unnecessary word. Oh my. Doesn't that sort of grip you? Better be careful what you say. Every word that I speak is going to be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're angry at someone. Brrr, that's going to be examined. This is very real. And it's very serious. And it has a profound effect, or should have a profound effect upon us. Not only what you do, but what you say is going to... I'll tell you what else. Come back to 1 Corinthians, please. And this one is enough to... to frighten you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5. Wait for everybody to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Are we all there? Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Let him judge. Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, the motives. It's bad enough to do something wrong, but why did they do it? Our motives are going to be examined. We do well, therefore, to wait on the Lord, to work, and to be very faithful in our work. What's the conclusion of all this? This time I'm stopping on time. Revelation chapter 22. The conclusion of all this. Waiting on the Lord. Watching and working. Bearing in mind that there is going to be an evaluation of our work. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 7. The Lord is speaking. He says in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? Everybody ready? Verse 12, behold, I come quickly. Verse 20, surely I come quickly. Now, three times in those few verses, the Lord says, I'm coming and I'm coming soon. You know how I like to think about it? He's on his way. But that makes a difference. He's on his way. What am I doing here? Am I where I would want him to find me? There is an old poem, go no place that you would not want to be found when Jesus comes. And this reminds me of another story. Two Christians, believers, and there was a certain picture that the young, and by the way, this is not only a story. I know of at least one instance, in fact, of this same thing. And the wife wanted to see this picture so badly. Husband said, no, we don't belong there. Well, you know how it is. How the lady, ladies, well, you all know already how to get to a man's heart. You see, I give you a little family counsel, in addition to everything else, marriage counsel. Just cry! That'll move him. And so, he decided to go to this place. And he goes up, the lady asks, how many tickets? Three. The wife says, three? There are only two of us? Oh, yes. Three of us. The Lord is with us. And they went home. How about it? Go no place that you would not want to be found when Jesus comes. Say nothing that you would not want to be wanting to hear you say when he comes. Do nothing. And by, you know, by the way, you know, you speak of doing things for the Lord. There are some tasks that are very, very disturbing. Some things you just don't like to do. I'll tell you about myself. You know one thing I didn't like to do? The dishes. Anybody else have that problem? No. The Lord bless you. It's a worrisome task. Dishes, washing. And we had all kinds of arrangements with my brother. Well, you did them last night, I do them tonight. After a while, we got mixed up on who did what. Colossians chapter 3. Do all things heartily as unto the Lord. And that helped me a lot. I'm drying these dishes unto the Lord. And it'll help you too with these tasks that are not pleasant. You have a boss over you and a very unpleasant person requiring things that you know should not be done. Do it as unto the Lord. And that'll make it easy. Yes, we read those three in Revelation, didn't we? Well, then we might as well conclude. No. Verse 20. He which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. How about those next few words? Can we also, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Are we all ready? That's the end of the message. I'm going to ask that we sing a verse of a hymn. Oh, my. I had it written here.
192 earlier.
What's that?
You said 192 earlier.
I did? Oh, fine. 192. I don't have my hymn, but what does 192 say?
I am waiting for
thee. Yes! Oh, beautiful. Now, I'm going to suggest, if you can't sing it truthfully, don't sing it. But I'd like everybody to sing. We might take just the first and the last verses.